Tapes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Go in. It's going. Bum, 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 bum.
It's very epic.
Yeah, you know, I try to keep the kids entertained. I mean, I don't love them or care about them, but...
I mean, you shouldn't. They're cruel.
It's not even that they're cruel. It's that they're dumb. They think they're not dumb, but they're dumb.
Yeah. It's a little pathetic that they kid themselves.
Don't kid yourself, kids. Just own it.
Yeah. Good try, hot shot. Yeah.
Yeah. God, how would you ever expect anyone to love you?
Get used to it. Me and Tim are born of that, so that's why we're the old crotchety men we are.
Yep, we're just full of crotch.
You know that's right.
Ayo. Oh. Where's that sad trombone?
You miss the soundboard, don't you?
I do. I can't. I appreciate that, buddy. I was just going to clickety clack a bunch of times and just pretend that worked. Well, how are you, buddy?
I am still distant from you.
I still don't like it. It's awful.
It's really bad. This picture you sent me, which is just crudely drawn on a chalkboard. I don't know why you mailed me a chalkboard with a chalk drawing of yourself.
I'm surprised it held up.
It's not working. It's very blurry because it got jostled, I think, in delivery.
Well, I was going to do it on one of those. What was that guy's name? The Woolly Pete guy or whatever, but, you know.
Etch a Sketch?
The magnetic. Well, yeah, but he was the magnetic mustache guy.
Oh, that guy. Woolly Willy guy?
Yeah, that guy. I was gonna draw you something on there, but...
Okay.
You know, successful.
Yeah, I'm glad you went with the chalkboard, I guess, if those were my options.
It's hard to put a penis on a guy's face, is what I'm saying.
Is it?
Well, I think we got there. That's an intro. All right, Max.
Boy, oh boy, do I have a movie that ties into this subject.
Well, I think I have the perfect movie that has to do with this. Are you ready?
Sure.
It's 2007 Sukiyaki Western Django.
Oh, boy.
Just like it.
I've seen this movie.
This movie's great. I watched it on the 2nd of January. It is 2 hours, 1 minute. It is an action Western. And when I said, Max, I got to leave your stream, I'm going to go watch a Japanese Western. You go, I hope it's Sukiyaki Western Django. And I said, of course it is.
Yep.
This movie is directed by Takaishi Miike, starring Hideaki Itō, Keiichi Saito, and Quentin Tarantino.
He's in there.
He does the thing. Your summary: a nameless gunfighter arrives in a town ripped apart by rival gangs and, though courted by both to join, chooses his own path.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice little write-up. Some alliteration, good use of commas. I enjoy that IMDb.
It's concise.
This movie is kind of interesting because it's a Japanese take on our kind of Western movies. And it works, but it's so familiar and yet different, I think is what I would go for here.
It's like New Coke.
It's not bad, but it's new.
Yeah.
Interesting mix of Western and Eastern movie making.
Yeah.
It has really nice twists throughout the movie. There's things that happen. I'm just like, huh, cool. Tarantino plays a fun character.
Yep.
And hard to know who to root for, as the gunfighter seems quote-unquote good, but he's just shrouded in mystery almost the whole movie.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, I know I'm supposed to root for him, and he seems good, but I don't know.
Yep, that's a fair assessment.
Because you kind of learn that everybody else is awful.
Mm-hmm.
And even when somebody's introduced to be a quote-unquote good character, you're like, I just don't know. They did that one thing. Maybe not.
Yep.
So this movie just has you kind of guessing the entire time.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. It has, it's clunky at times. It has a weird flow, but I think it's pretty good, pretty well done. Tarantino, all his scenes are very good, very silly Tarantino scenes that you would expect from him.
Oh, yeah.
And I just enjoyed it. It was something different. I enjoy Westerns a lot, so something different to see.
Yeah, I think it does a good job of pulling a lot of traditional, like, American Western elements, and also a lot of very over-the-top Italian, like, spaghetti Western elements, and
right.
Sticking them all in. I mean, even going as far as to name it Django in some way, right. But all putting Takashi Miike's, like, really Asian-inspired sensibility all over. It's a really bizarre combination of how to handle the genre.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I actually own this on physical media. I bought it probably in 2007 and just watched it now.
Nice. Glad you did.
I mean, I'm kind of a terrible person for waiting so long. my favorite part by far is the physical DVD is like a bowl of ramen or noodles or something. So
nice.
That's fun. But let's get to these scores. IMDb, they scored it a 6.2 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes, critically, 56%. 55 people went and reviewed that.
Okay.
Audience, 57% out of 10,000 people. Look how close the critic and audience is. That's kind of exciting.
It is.
But they're all wrong. It's a 6.5 out of 10.
Nice.
It easily is. It's not going to be for everybody, but if you're already down for what is clearly a bizarre Western, it doesn't let you down at all.
Right. If you're in after hearing Tim's description, you're going to be in and have a good time.
Right. Didn't you ever want to see Lone Wolf and Cub with gunfighting? Of course you did.
Yeah. I will take us in a completely different direction.
That's the spirit.
With 2019's Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark.
Ooh.
I watched this in October of 2019. It is 1 hour and 47 minutes long, and it is, you guessed it, a horror film.
Ooh.
It is directed by Andre Overdahl, who did Troll Hunter and Autopsy of Jane Doe, which are both fucking great. It's very important, and I want to lean on both of those are fucking great.
Pretty sure I saw Troll Hunter and I liked it.
It's so good. It's so good. This movie stars Zoe Margaret Coletti, Michael Garza, and Austin Zauzer? I don't know.
Ah, the Zauzer.
Sorry, Austin. IMDb movie summary. A girl... Oh, did I write this one? Yes, I did. Okay. So it's a Max movie summary. A girl writes some scary stories in a book. Decades later, some kids find it, and the stories start becoming real. Ah! Bullet point thoughts on the movie. There are some cool moments. The tie together makes no fucking sense. Why do I say that? Well, and this is, I guess, kind of a spoiler. I don't know. But the girl is abused by her family and, like, locked in this room. And this is set way back in the day. And so she writes these scary stories in the book. And then these kids find her book and the scary stories start negatively impacting them. And I don't quite understand that whole thought of, like, the girl's abused and so she creates these scary stories and they harm kids instead of the people who hurt her.
I guess she just had so much bad juju on that book.
I don't know. And the way they kind of solve the problem is a little questionable, in my opinion. Like, just the whole thing doesn't quite... They work so hard to try to take a bunch of famous, like, folklore ghost stories, which is what the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark books were, and turn it into this, like, almost Steven Spielberg, Amblin-esque kids going on an adventure movie. It doesn't really work, in my opinion. Those pieces kind of fall apart. There's some really cool makeup effects in this movie. There are some parts that don't look so hot, not nearly tense enough or scary enough. There is a really cool part where this kid turns into a scarecrow and, like, he starts to, like, throw up straw,
which is
really cool. And then straw starts to come out of the corners of his eyes. And I was just like, oh, this is so... And this happens early in the movie. So I was like, this is so fucked up. What is this movie? And that was the best part.
They peaked early.
Oh, they really did. They really did. But, I mean, it's okay. Like, you know, let me know what you think out there. Whatever country's high on our list right now.
Paraguay.
Paraguay, you guys are the best.
Yeah.
IMDb gave this a 6.2. Who'd have thought?
Okay.
That seems to be popular right now.
Yeah.
It's the hot score. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 222, reviewed this at a 78%. The audience gave this a 72%. That was 8,238 people.
Why do I have the feeling the Max score is going to be at least two whole digits less?
Max disagrees. Therefore... 5.5 out of 10. You know me too well. Yeah,
I do.
I just thought it was milquetoast. Like, it was okay. It wasn't a bad movie, but I would recommend that everybody out there goes and watch Troll Hunter or Autopsy of Jane Doe, because those movies fucking rock.
Are you hypercritical of kids going on adventure movies, since it's one of your favorite genres?
I'd say yes, but I generally really like all of them. I just feel like this one didn't really have much of an adventure. Like, just some bad vibes. Like, kids get vibed at badly.
Ooh.
Yeah, not great.
Well, let's get away from that nonsense to some different nonsense. You ready? This movie is from 2019, and it is Fighting With My Family.
I see. So what did you watch while you were doing that?
I was fighting with my family. I watched Fighting with My Family. And then I couldn't hear it because I was fighting with my family. So it was a whole thing.
It was very Inception-y to be fighting with your family while watching that.
Yeah, no, I was like in the van and as I went over the bridge and was falling in the water, I had headphones on. It was a whole thing. I watched this on January 4th of this year. It is 1 hour, 48 minutes. It is biography, comedy, drama. It is directed by Stephen Merchant. Stephen Merchant's a good guy.
Yeah.
Starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Lena Headey, Vince Vaughn, Florence Pugh? I don't know how you say that.
I think it's
P-U-G-H.
Pogue. Yeah.
Pugh?
Pogue.
And, of course, Nick Frost, who is great. Your summary, a former wrestler and his family make a living performing at small venues around the country while his kids dream of joining World Wrestling Entertainment. WWE, in general, doesn't have a good track record with their movie division.
Right.
It's usually awful vehicles for their mid-card wrestlers to appear in.
Okay.
This is essentially the story of the WWE superstar Paige. And how she made her way from England to NXT, came up through NXT, and became the women's champion when she debuts on Raw. This is all what happened.
Okay.
You're supposed to like already kind of know that or get the sense of that at the start of the movie. Mm-hmm. And then it's kind of filling in the blanks of like how culture shock she was coming here, how she kind of was like this punk kind of attitude, punk kid, street kid, a little rough around the edges. And I mean, Lena Headey and Nick Frost play her parents and they are great.
Oh wow.
My God. They're all wrestlers. It's fantastic.
Oh, cool.
But like they have like the small time wrestling feel and they're trying to make it to the big time. Her brother tries out with her. He doesn't make it. She does. Hmm. It's just this whole big thing. And it's kind of accurate to her story. I don't know, you know, a ton about it beyond, you know, what is addressed in this movie, but it's just a really solid movie. And I was shocked at how good it is because, like I said, their movies have an awful track record.
Right.
So, a fun adaptation. The family dynamic is very strong throughout, even when it's silly and, you know, like Nick Frost is out of shape wrestling and it's like, it's pretty funny. He is really good as the father because then he will flip on a dime and have this real dramatic scene and give her some real solid advice and just be a loving father. Yeah, he's real good. But the star of this easily is Vince Vaughn, which I would not have expected.
Okay.
Vince Vaughn is so good, and this is probably, he's probably the most important character, and he just does a fantastic job. He essentially plays the tryout coach who accepts her and trains her and gets her to that position to where she can debut on TV.
Oh, cool.
And his character is so good, and he's kind of a dick at times, but then he's also like this, you know, good coach kind of character. And I, like, once I saw he was in this, I'm like, what is this? This is a paycheck for him, but he actually put in a very good performance.
That's rad.
You know, I really enjoyed it. This movie was so good. I had no expectations of it. So if you see it out there, I think it's on Netflix now. I think it's on one of the streamings. Definitely check it out. So IMDb, they gave it a 7.1 out of 10.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes, critically, 230 critics. What do you think, Max?
Critics? I'm going to go with 68%.
Check this shit out. 93%.
Wow.
Yes. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Audience, 3,000 some odd people, 82%.
Nice.
I gave it a 7.5.
Nice. That's way cool.
This movie, I thought I was being generous with the 7.5, and I saw all these other reviews, and I'm like, wow, okay. But this movie is, it's just a fun movie, and I guess you could see between this and like Man Up and some of the other movies I talked about, I just wanted to find some different fun movies, not just weird women in the desert shooting things or weird spiders made out of ice or
Bruce Lee cartoons.
Bruce Lee, I don't regret that one.
No, that was cool.
And that one ruled.
So, Tim, good writing
mm-hmm.
is very... One element in good writing is you tie the beginning to the end. So,
ideally.
I want to tell you about how easy it is to put a penis on a man's face as I talk about 1980s Cruising.
Cruising. Okay.
I watched this in November of 2019. It is 1 hour and 46 minutes long. And it is a crime drama.
Okay.
It was directed by The Exorcists, William Friedkin, who also wrote it. It stars Al Pacino, Karen Allen, and Joe Spinell.
Okay.
The summary is, a psychopath is scouring the New York City gay clubs and bars and viciously murdering homosexuals. Detective Steve Burns, played by Al Pacino, has to don his leather gear and go undercover into the seedy world of the S&M scene.
Well, you did make it come full circle, I guess.
Yeah, I did. So, this movie, when it came out, was really bashed hard because people thought it was crass and offensive, and it was more worried about the spectacle of what it was doing than actually being any kind of, you know, vehicle for a good film. Right. I don't think the movie's quite as bad as it was panned for in 1980, but it is very heavy-handed. But anybody else would have made this movie a fucking shit show. But when you have somebody like William Friedkin at the helm, you get a master's work, even with the level of extreme that he goes to in portraying the, especially the gay clubs and bars in this movie.
Well, yeah, this is like the height of the AIDS epidemic too. So
yeah, it was labeled previously as a very insensitive film, and it definitely is in parts, no doubt. It is definitely a little of its time in how rough around the edges it is when dealing with the homosexuality part.
Okay.
My opinion of it is it's a little bit too focused on the, whoa, isn't this crazy part, and less on him trying to make a well-told crime movie, right? Like, these, like, undercover cop movies are all about a cop kind of going to a place that's tough for them. And
right,
the idea, there's a good parallel in, like, there's a good thought of a parallel of taking a very straight white male and putting him into the, you know, into the gay scene in New York is an idea of him becoming more comfortable with his sexuality. And that could have been explored a little bit more, but instead it seemed like Friedkin was really distracted by the, like, did you know if you put a yellow bandana over, you know, in your right back pocket, it means that you like to get peed on? It's like if he had just pulled back on that stuff, it would have been a little bit more. There could have been more allegory put in, a more metaphor to really say something interesting. But instead, he was just more worried about, like, wouldn't this be fucked up, or how crazy is this shit?
Yeah,
so it kind of detracts from it. But it's not bad at all by any stretch. It's definitely a movie you should watch if you want to see something really different from someone who is an absolute master of the craft. IMDb gives it a 6.4 out of 10. Okay. Rotten Tomatoes critics, 49 critics reviewed it and gave it 49%.
Whoa.
The audience, 6,216 people reviewed it and gave it 48%.
Whoa.
So.
You're blowing my mind.
Pretty close there. A 1% difference between those two scores. I gave it a 5.5. Same as Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, but for completely different reasons.
Wow. It's,
if you want to see a well-made film that just kind of misses the mark from the start, I would recommend that you see Cruising for those reasons, because it's a masterclass in how to make a film, but it is a masterclass in how to do, kind of do the best you can with a weak screenplay, where Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is also a weak screenplay, but kind of never recovers from that.
No. Once you do that Scarecrow thing.
Yeah, Scarecrow thing's rad. It's really good.
Hmm. Well, thank you, Max. That Cruising, huh?
Yeah.
Cruising.
So everybody out there, get the penises off your face and watch a movie. God damn it.